Because God has been faithful to me. He's been faithful to me when I didn't deserve Him to be faithful to me. He's been patient with me when His patience should have run out a long time ago. Hebrews chapter 11 is a reminder for us. You know, I've thought about what can I say this morning, this new year beginning, and you always need to have a new year sermon, and there are so many things in Scripture that would be appropriate for any day, but especially this day, it would be appropriate today to rethink the great sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. To review the scheme of redemption from the before creation until our present day. To review all of the great things that God has done. Hebrews chapter 11 is one of those special chapters in Scripture, kind of like 1 Corinthians 13. It's a passage you can take out of its context, and it stands alone with meaning and with purpose and with direction. I guess what I want to say to us this morning is we have no way of knowing what 2005 will bring. I remember saying that at the beginning of 2004. And as you look back on your 2004, you probably have different perspectives than I do about what happened in this year. We have gone through some difficult times together as a congregation. We've gone through kind of a fun time moving into... What was it, 2004 we moved in here? In some ways, it seems like 10 years ago. So we moved in here together. I was, it'd be a year in May, I think. 30th. What I want for myself this year... And what I hope we will have together as a church family is a vision of faith for our church and for our lives. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, I was rereading this morning at the house this chapter. And I was reminded of the significance of Hebrews 11:1 as it relates to the rest of the chapter. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." The way I memorized that years ago was, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen." Unseen is what grabs my attention in Hebrews 11, and I think the author here means for that to grab our attention. Because when you travel through Hebrews chapter 11, there are lots of significant things that relate to the unseen. Look at chapter 11 and verse 4. Speaking of Abel, who offered a better sacrifice than Cain, "By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith he still speaks even though he is dead." And the Hebrew writer takes us from the visible to the invisible, thinking of Abel speaking to us even though he is dead. In verse 6, speaking of Enoch, "Without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." And you remember, Enoch was so pleasing to God that He just took him right up into the heavens. Where is Enoch today? You see, this whole chapter makes us think about the invisible world. It makes us think about Abraham receiving a son even though he was old. Noah in verse 7. Bible says, "By faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family." The whole essence of the story, according to the Hebrew writer, was that Noah had his eyes set on a future that was yet unseen. He had not seen rain. And he built the ark because God had said, the rain would come. In verse 8, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place where he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Again, this whole idea of living in a world where we live with unseen realities, not knowing where we're going, not knowing where God might lead us. Verse 28, speaking of Moses, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Moses had an idea about an invisible God, and that's what he kept in his mind. I mean, you think about the choices that he made. He was raised in the lap of luxury while his fellow Israelites suffered as slaves. But because he was able to see who was invisible, he persevered. I don't know what that meant in Moses' life. Maybe he laid down on his cot either in Pharaoh's house or in Midian, where he would end up later, wherever it was. And he would close his eyes and imagine the invisible God. This morning when I was singing, Great is Thy Faithfulness, I was standing there next to Dana thinking of how faithful God has been to me. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. You see, this whole idea of capturing a picture of the invisible is what faith is about. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 35. Listen to this. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. You know, when you read the Old Testament, I don't get the same picture as I do in the New about what the future world will look like. But apparently they had an idea of a better world than what they had at that time. Maybe it was the words about the Messiah. I don't know what it was that drew their attention. But all of these people in the book of Hebrews, like chapter 11, verse 26, when it says Moses was looking ahead to his reward. Chapter 11, verse 27, he saw him who was invisible. What faith does is it translates us into the realm of the unseen. It's that pie in the sky that people criticize Christians for, when in reality that is the essence of what we believe. Don't you sit here this morning because of your hope for something better than what you're sitting in today? Don't we have hope for our loved ones who have died because we believe that they are in a better place? You know, you people that are marrying off these kids, and you know, I think last night the Webbs and the Fields married a daughter off. We had another wedding in the chapel that I did, and had the bigger wedding in here. Different wedding in here, not the bigger wedding, but the different wedding in here. But you take those kids and you stand them at the altar, and those of you that have children that are married, you know, what do you hope for them? They stand there and you're hoping for them as they make their promises, that they will remember their promises and they will be faithful to the Lord. And when you die and they die, we'll all end up in the same spot. Isn't that what you're thinking about? Faithfulness. Faithfulness is believing in something that goes well beyond our own experience, our own reality, that embraces things like Abraham embraced when God said, I'm going to give you a son. And Sarah was barren. Romans chapter 4, Paul comments on Abraham's life. And he says, Abraham, listen to this. I love this verse. He says, Abraham hoped against hope and was able to perform. He hoped against hope. You see, he had the same reality we do. Abraham was thinking, God, you told me you were going to give me a son through this woman, and she's barren. There's no hope. But then he added to that the vision of faith. And he hoped against hope. And he was able to perform. Why? Because of God's great faithfulness. All of these people in Hebrews chapter 11 grasp the vision of the unseen. That was their life. That was what motivated them. That was what prompted them. That was the dynamic of their existence. They lived with the reality of the unseen. Now there are several other passages in the Bible that draw us this same picture that are not in the book of Hebrews. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 to 18. Paul puts our life, our present reality, in an eternal framework, in an invisible framework. He says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's our struggle. Your struggle is not your mortgage payment or your job. Your struggle is against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that you, when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. The New Testament takes us out of our world and puts us in a different reality. It puts us in the reality of the invisible. But there's something else about Hebrews 11 that was brought to my attention by a fellow named Leroy Garrett. He is a great historian in our fellowship and a great preacher of the word. He wrote a little article on Hebrews chapter 11 and brought to my attention something that I guess I had known before but had not focused on it the way that he did in this article that he wrote recently on an email. When you read through Hebrews chapter 11, God commends all these people for living in the arena of the invisible. Abel, verse 4. Offered a better sacrifice than Cain. By faith he was commended as a righteous man. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. Verse 7, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Verse 11, by faith Abraham, when though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Verse 20, by faith Isaac. Verse 21, by faith Jacob. Verse 22, by faith Joseph. Verse 23, by faith Moses. Verse 29, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea. And so there's a great picture of God leading his people in triumphant procession. Abel offers a better sacrifice, and he is commended. And I mean, I just have this picture of Israel walking through the Red Sea and later the Jordan River on dry land and really having confidence and faith in the power of God. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down because of the faith of the people. And whenever I think of faithfulness, often I may get into this trap of thinking somehow that because everything is well with me, that God has been faithful to me. That somehow our circumstance, faithfulness is defined by the circumstance of our lives. I've told you this story before, but it illustrates well. Batzel Barrett Baxter, an old preacher, speaker for Herald of Truth years ago, was traveling back to his home in Henderson, Tennessee after being away on a protracted meeting. And he had a car wreck. He went off the road and ran into an embankment on a bridge, you know, like these embankments that hold up our balcony. And he got to church okay the next morning, and this little lady walked up to him and said, "Oh, Brother Baxter, I'm so glad that God was with you and that you're well today." And he looked at her and he said, "Would God have not been with me had I been killed?" Faithfulness is not defined by our circumstance. The theology of prosperity that you hear so much on television about which people write when they often talk about money is, if you give God a dollar, he'll give you back two. God is faithful to you when everything is okay with you. When you pass the class, God is faithful to you. When you win the ball game, God is faithful to you. That's always been a difficult thing for me to grasp. These teams that go out and pray for victory, and one team wins and one team loses, if they pray for victory and then they lose, what does that say about the team that loses? God does not like them. God is not with them. You see, we can trivialize our faith to the point where it means how much money we have in the bank, or whether or not we're skinny or fat, or whether or not we're healthy, wealthy, and wise. When you do something dumb, are you not faithful? If you don't get blessed like someone else gets blessed with financial prosperity, are they arisen to a greater level of faithfulness than you? Hebrews 11 gives us a picture of people who did magnificent things because of their faith in God. Wouldn't you like to have been Moses as he stood there with his hands being held up and the battle was won? Because he was faithful. Or Abraham, when Sarah comes and says, "I'm going to have a son." And Abraham says, "Miracle of miracles, God is faithful to us." But you see, there's another group of people in Hebrews chapter 11. Towards the end, beginning in verse 32. He says, "I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again." Those are the visions of faith that I want to have. Don't you? I want to be receiving back the dead and winning battles. But listen to the rest of the people of faith. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. They didn't live in America. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. And so the Hebrew writer gathers all the heap people of the Old Testament into a little group, and he says, I want to start off with Abraham and Moses and Enoch, and they had their trials too. And he wants to end with people who went around destitute, living with sheepskins and goatskins and holes in the ground. And he wraps them all up in a big ball in verse 39. And he says, these were all commended for their faith. We judge poorly when we judge that someone who is in dire circumstances is not a person of faith. Or when someone is in really, really good circumstances are a person of faith. Faith is not about our circumstances. It is about the one in whom we trust. Yesterday on that wedding, I reminded that young couple, Brad and Christy, that not all days would be like that day. You know, you all know if you've been married very long, there's going to be days when they're not going to like each other very much. And the thought may go smoking by, why did I marry you? And if you're not careful, you might even say it at a weakened moment. Every day won't be a highlight of our life. There are going to be peaks and valleys. Faithfulness is not defined by where we stand in relationship to the world. It is always defined in where we stand with relationship to our Father in heaven. And we are called to be faithful if we are rich, and we are called to be faithful if we are destitute. Faithfulness is living with our eyes set on things that are unseen, that have nothing to do with how nice our clothes are. I would hope that in 2005 that you and I will raise our vision and be ready to have faith in whatever circumstance. Be ready to say, God, I'm going to trust you if you take from me everything that I love. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to trust you if I have to live destitute or in a hole in the ground. I'm going to trust you if a tidal wave takes away my family or my house. I'm going to stand there on my empty lot saying, I have faith in God. Isn't that a great vision for 2005? I'm going to trust you, God. Now, our Bible is divided up into chapters, which is annoying sometimes, and this is one of those places where chapter 11 naturally flows into chapter 12. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, see the invisible again, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful man, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You see, today is the day that you and I can claim our victory in faith. There may be someone sitting in this auditorium this morning who knows Jesus and who knows he is Lord and who knows he has been sacrificed for their sins, and they have faith in him, but they have not walked that faith and lived that faith by coming to this front, maybe this morning, and saying, I want to confess Jesus as Lord and begin to walk by faith. Maybe you're sitting here this morning wondering, what will 2005 bring? What better thing could it bring than for you to stand in the front of other people and say, today I want to acknowledge that I have faith in Christ, and I want to be baptized, and I want to be raised to begin my life with him. If you've not been baptized into Christ,
Wouldn't this be a great time to say, I want to express my faith in that way?
Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're looking at your life and you're saying, man, I've been living in a hole in the ground and been kind of blaming God rather than trusting in Him. Today would be a great day for all of us to begin to say, no matter what happens, I'm going to live for God.
You see, God wants us to walk with Him, to trust Him, to obey Him, no matter what happens, in whatever circumstance. We walk with Him in faith while we stand and sing.
When we walk.